I grew up in Kansas, and we had lots of snow usually around Christmas time. And can you imagine this stage, maybe about that high, filled with snow? Would that be pretty fun on Christmas Day? Well, my papa and Nana, we always went to their house in a small town in central Kansas. And the snow, you know, I can remember one Christmas on Christmas Eve, it snowed that much, and it was all the way up to here. So we woke up in the morning, and everything was covered with white snow. And it was just that perfect consistency of snow that held together and packed really well. So you could start with a small ball and kind of push it a little bit, and it would get bigger on its own. You know what I mean? And you keep pushing it, and if you do that a long ways, it becomes this giant, big ball of snow. The problem is then you can't move it anywhere to where you, and if you're trying to build a snowman, it's too heavy to put on. But anyways, my grandpa, he got his shovels out, and we all were shoveling, and he told us to make a big pile of snow as big as possible. So we all pitched in. I was only about 8 years old, probably. And so we got this pile of snow about that, you know, probably about that high. And it was pretty cool. And then he told us to kind of stamp it with the shovels to kind of pack it down. So then it went from here to about here, right? So it wasn't as impressive, but now it's right nice and firm. And then he told us to tunnel through it. So, you know, it was from about the wall to about there. So we, my brother Jamie got on one side, and we started to tunnel through it. And eventually our hands met, kind of like when you're building a sand tunnel and your hand reaches. Maybe we'll do that at Brighton Beach today. But your hand meets. And so we made that hole bigger until finally we could crawl through the tunnel. Meanwhile, Grandpa, Papa, we called him, was kind of using the shovel to make kind of steps going up, and then he made a slide on the other side going down. That was pretty fun, eh? Now, we can't really do that in New Zealand because we don't have enough snow here. Even in wintertime, we don't really have enough snow, but that's one of my great, you know, memories of Christmas. Do you have kind of memories like that of days gone by where you got with family and you, you know, the kids were little and you got picked out the perfect gift that you knew they were really enjoy? Or maybe when you were a kid and you can remember all the family and all the happiness and joy and the gifts. And, you know, Christmas is a great time to remember the memories and family times and gift giving and all the great food. But this really only scratches the surface of what Christmas is really all about. So for just a few minutes this morning, I'd like to focus us in on the greatest gift that God has given to the world, the greatest present that he's offering to each one of us that we can untie and open and see what's inside. And that gift is all about a person, and that's what I'd like to tell you about. But let me pray before we begin. Father, thank you for Christmas time and all the memories and family time and the snow in the northern hemisphere, that is, Father. And thank you for the time that we get to be with family. And Lord, thank you that at the end of the day, it all comes back to a person. And help us to talk about this person and why this person is important to us today. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. So who is this person? What is this gift? Kids, can you tell me what is the greatest gift that we can open at Christmas? Love. Okay. Getting there. Yeah, getting there. His name is love. Jesus, that's right. Thank you. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. It's the gift that God wants to give to us, that we can open and that we can examine and we can believe in. And that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about who Jesus is. We're going to describe this gift. And then we're going to talk about why God gave us this gift. And then we're going to talk about what we need to do to receive this gift. So let's talk about the gift itself. The gift is a person. The gift is Jesus, who came into the world about 2,000 years ago. God's gift to us. You know, it's easy to have the wrong idea about Jesus. Some people have the idea of a political party Jesus that fits their political view. Maybe some people have a Starbucks Jesus that kind of is a coffee shop kind of guy. Or maybe there's the gentle Jesus that kind of is meek and mild and has flowing hair and walks around barefoot. Maybe there's the Christmas card Jesus that's kind of a nice platitudes type of Jesus. Maybe there's guru Jesus that teaches us kind of how to find ourselves and how to find the light within. It's easy to have the wrong idea about who Jesus is. But the true Jesus, the true gift, is something very different. The true Jesus, has anyone seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? You know who in that story matches up with Jesus? Yeah? Can someone tell me? Yeah, Noah? Aslan. You know what they say about Aslan? I'm going off memory. You would know, Nev. Oh, you've never read it. I'm going off memory. I went off script. That's what happens when you go off script. But the lion Aslan is a friendly lion. He's a good lion, but he's also a dangerous lion because he is the ruler. He's the creator. He's the king of Narnia. And that's like Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. Israel had the highest view of God that you could have. The whole Old Testament sets up the vision and reveals to man how high God is, how great and holy he is. So that, and God is one. He's one God, not multiple gods like all the other peoples had. He's one God. And sin, the Old Testament teaches us that sin has separated us from God. And that because of our sin, we are guilty before God. And God, in his justice, must push us away from him because of our wrongdoing, because we have failed the test. And so Jesus is God's son. Jesus is fully God and fully man in one person forever. This is the gift. This is what's called the incarnation. A recent study in America posed the question, did Jesus exist prior to being born? Did Jesus exist prior to being born? And the stats said that 3 in 4 Americans believed that Jesus did not exist before he was born. But this is a wrong view of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. Jesus was in the form of God, as Paul says in Philippians 2. So when we're thinking about the baby Jesus, we need to realize that Jesus didn't just start existing there. He is God the Son. He had existed in a love relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit all the way back to eternity past. Before the universe existed, Jesus, as God the Son, was there loving God the Father. He was the only begotten, eternally begotten from the Father. This is the gift. And the gift could only come about, this Son of God coming into the world could only happen through this amazing miracle with Mary the Virgin. Mary was a Jewish girl. She was probably very young, maybe 15, 16 years old. And she was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before they had been married and come together as husband and wife, Mary was found to be pregnant with a child. How could this be? And why? Why a virgin? Why did Jesus have to come through the virgin? Through having a human mother but not a human father? Well, this was very, very important in God's plan to save us, because Jesus had to be fully God and fully man in one person. He had to have a human mother. If we go back to Genesis 3, it was the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man, that was promised, that was going to break the curse. The seed of the woman, that's an unusual phrase, because usually the seed is associated with the father. But here we have the seed of the woman. And so the plan from the very beginning, when man fell and man rebelled against God, the plan of rescue was going to come through the seed of the woman, through the virgin. And Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would come through a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7. So Jesus, being fully God, became fully man in one person. He had a human mother. He had an ethnicity. He was Jewish. He experienced normal human growth and development. We learn that in Luke 2, which Ed just read. So Jesus was fully God and fully man in one person. This is called the hypostatic union. It means that Jesus was a unique person. Only he could do what he came to do. Only he was qualified to save us. Did you know that no one can save mankind other than Jesus? And that's because he is fully God and fully man. God sent him into the world on a rescue mission. And that's the next thing we're going to talk about, is why did Jesus came? Well, the Bible actually gives us a whole lot of reasons why Jesus came. I'm just going to give you a few. And these are direct quotes from Scripture. The first reason is to come and to testify to the truth. The Bible says that man deceives, well, I should say, when I say man, I mean men and women. Human beings are easily deceived, and that our heart is desperately wicked, and that we deceive ourselves. Do you see that in your own life and in our world today? We are easily deceived. The first reason Jesus came is to testify to the truth. What he says when he comes in the Gospels is truth. It's so easy to get deceived, and the way that we human beings get on track, back on track with the truth, is that we turn to this book, the Bible. And we hear and listen and read what Jesus says. He came to testify to the truth. The second reason he came was to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45 and Matthew 1:21. Paul says in Philippians 2 that he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to death on a cross. So Jesus came to testify to the truth, and he also came to give his life as a ransom for many. Ransom means that we were sold in slavery to sin, and that Jesus had to pay the purchase price to redeem us, or to buy us out of slavery and into freedom. Did you know that we are all slaves of sin without Jesus? If he hadn't have come into the world, we would still be enslaved to sin. But now that Jesus has come and paid the purchase price, that he's shed his precious blood on the cross, the blood of the God-man, that blood washes our sins and makes us right with God, so that through faith in Jesus the gift and what he's done, we can have a new life. We can have righteousness imputed to us as a free gift because Jesus paid for our sins. That's the second reason, to give his life as a ransom for many. The third reason is to give us an abundant life. How many of you want an abundant, blessed life in the Spirit to the glory of God? Well, because Jesus has rescued and redeemed us from sin and brought us into freedom, we have now the opportunity to have and live an abundant life. Even when our world is crazy, and even when we face tough times ourselves in our own lives, internally, we can have this amazing quality of life, no matter what the circumstances are. Jesus said, I have come to give them life, and life abundantly. John 10:10. And finally, the fourth reason. The fourth reason is a not so nice reason, but it's a reason that's very much in Scripture. And it's actually, we see it here in Luke 2, in what Simeon says to Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary. And remember, Joseph isn't his real dad. His real dad is God the Father. But Jesus treated Joseph as his human father while he was growing up. And so Simeon was an old man who was waiting for the Messiah to come. And when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple to dedicate him, Simeon saw the child and through the Holy Spirit knew that it was the Messiah. And so he comes and takes the baby Jesus in his arms, and he says some things about Jesus. And then he blesses Joseph and Mary and says to Mary in verse 34 of Luke 2, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So the fourth reason is to bring out the thoughts of mankind. In other words, because God has made his strategic move to send his son into the world, each one of us has to make a decision about this gift, about this person, Jesus. Each one of us has to decide, are we going to open the gift and accept the gift of salvation through Jesus, or are we going to reject that gift? What is the thoughts of our hearts? Later in Luke 12, verse 51, Jesus himself says why he came, a reason why he came. And again, it's not a very happy reason. He says in verse 51, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus, you mean baby Jesus came to divide? Well, yes. He came to divide because human beings have a choice to make, and not every person is going to accept the gift. This is your choice. This is the gospel decision that you and I have to make. There is a division because Jesus, at the end of the day, divides. Not everyone in the world, unfortunately, is going to accept the gift. So Jesus came to die for everyone. He came to give abundant life for everyone. But some people choose to reject it. What about you? And that's the third point. What does Jesus coming into the world mean for us? Well, it means that our sins are paid for. It means that Jesus is the Messiah, the light, the hope that the world has been looking for. But it also means for us that we have to make a decision about him, a clear decision. And each one of us is kind of boxed in. We can't not make a decision about Jesus. God has laid out the evidence. He's shown us himself through Jesus. The cross is a historical fact. Jesus' resurrection happened in history. So God has let the gospel be known to the ends of the earth. And now that gospel comes to you. And you have to make a decision what you're going to do with it. If you want the gift, if you want to have God give you righteousness and restore you to life as it should be, if you want to be saved from your sins, if you want to be reconciled to God and have eternal life with him and with one another in the new heavens and the new earth, brothers and sisters, friends, you must believe the gospel. You must believe the good news about Jesus, the greatest gift, that he is fully God and fully man in one person forever, that on the cross he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that on the third day he rose according to the scriptures. As John says in his gospel, he who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, has eternal life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life." Do you feel lost, confused, helpless, guilty, dirty, sinful, mortal? Are you sick of living on your own without God? Are you tired of the rat race? Do you want real life? Come to Jesus. Open that box. Open that box and see what's inside. It is Jesus. He is the gift that you really need. Only Jesus can solve the desperate longing in your heart and in my heart. And when you believe in him, believe me, your life will change. You will know God. You will begin to know and have the truth in your life. You will have a relationship with God that will never end. And you will have the promise that even if you die in this life, you will have eternal life when God raises you from the dead to be with him in Jesus' kingdom. People, did you know that people are coming to Christ right now in our city? I was told of a former New Age spiritual teacher who lives in Brighton with her family. And she through the friendships of Christians and seeing how they're responding to the happenings in our world today and noticing a difference about Christians, she was gravitating and spending more and more time with them until finally she has become a Christian. She has believed in Jesus and opened up that box, going all the way from New Age teaching others the New Age spirituality, all the way to believing in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of her sins. That's a big move. That's a huge move. And so that's happening in our world. That's happening in our city today. So praise God for that. So are there people around you that are ready to hear the good news? Let's be active in today's world, sharing the good news of the gift of Jesus Christ. So if you would like to believe in Jesus, and if you've never made that decision to trust in Him and to open the gift, come talk to me after the service, or find someone you trust to talk with and to pray with and to make that decision. Merry Christmas, and praise God that He didn't leave us in sin, but that He sent His Son, His one and only Son, so that we could be saved and have eternal life. Let's pray. Let's praise the Lord together. Father, we lift up Jesus. We acknowledge Him as the Lord, as Messiah. He is the King, the Prophet, the Priest. He is the gift. He, and only He, gets the credit for our salvation. Thank You that all mankind has the same choice to make regarding Jesus. Truly, Jesus has come to divide. Not because He wants to divide, but because He has given us free will to make a decision about Jesus. And thank You that we have that decision to make, Lord, and that You have done everything You need to do to give us eternal life. And so, Father, I pray if there's anyone who should and needs to and wants to become a Christian today through faith in Christ, that they will do so. Thank You, Father, for being faithful to us, and we look forward to Jesus' second coming, just as He's come the first time, Lord. Now, Father, to You be all glory for Your plan of salvation and for loving us and giving us hope. Encourage us, and may the Holy Spirit empower us to live for You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.